Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, it has been tumultuous times for Lutherans in America, at least the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America this last summer made a decision that was the last straw for many of its members, pastors, congregations. They decided to lift their ban on homosexual clergy and the performance of same-sex marriage or same-sex union ceremonies in their congregations. And this, of course, is viewed as the continuing slide of that the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, into the mainstream of Protestant liberalism. They have now joined the ranks of, graduated, if you will, into the ranks of those church bodies that have departed, without a doubt, departed from historic Christianity in so many ways. And as I said, it was the last straw for many of their members, pastors, congregations, and they gathered together and they tried to figure out what to do. Many had left before, some were ready to leave now, but where do you go? The question remains, these refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, are these confessional Lutherans, that is, Lutherans who hold firmly to the historic positions articulated in the Lutheran confessions of the 16th century and to the historic positions of Lutheranism on other issues to which the confessions don't speak, but Scripture most certainly does? Or are they a different brand, disgruntled for good reason, but perhaps still in many ways as liberal as the church body they left? We're going to talk about refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America for the first half hour of this Monday afternoon's Issues Etc. We're coming to you live February the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Twitter us right here in the studio at IssuesETC or send us an email. We'll get it in real time. Talkback@IssuesETC.org. In about 20 minutes, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the temptation of Jesus. In the second hour of the program, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will join us for a few minutes to comment on President Obama's selection of a special envoy to the Organization of the Islamic Conference. And then, for the last 40 minutes of the program, we'll talk about love in the Scriptures. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor David Ramirez is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. He grew up in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and attended an ELCA seminary before enrolling at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Ramirez, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Todd. Good to be on the program.
Tell us your story in and then out of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Sure. Well, I guess I'll start with where I grew up. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and I grew up in a parish which was actually a former Missouri Synod parish. My parents also were former Missouri Synod members. They left during the troubles of the 70s, the whole Seminex controversy. And the congregation I grew up in was very proud of its Missouri Synod's heritage. It was rather conservative for the ELCA. And so I grew up, on one hand, definitely in the ELCA, but also with an eye to wider North American Lutheranism. And so I was very happy growing up. My father was a wonderful pastor, went to the Lutheran Day School there, which was a wonderful institution. And then for college, I went to Valpo. And when I went to Valparaiso University, I think that's probably when some chinks in my armor started emerging, because when I went there, I definitely got a fuller taste of the Seminex and Valpo theology, which has been discussed many times on your program and in various periodicals and books also. But anyway, at Valpo, I started getting suspicious of how many people there and in the wider ELCA community would pit the gospel against the scriptures. And when you divorce, as we've seen, unfortunately, this summer, when you divorce the gospel from the scriptures and what defines what the gospel is, when you have kind of a disembodied or a non-incarnate gospel that is informed by the scriptures, you can get into some really tricky business. And you can get to some conclusions which are totally anti-scriptural, such as being okay with homosexual behavior, ordaining women, and other current issues that face our church or our church bodies. But so at Valpo, I started really getting suspicious of the hermeneutic that was used in the ELCA, and started questioning the big Lutheran Civil War in the Missouri Synod in the 60s and 70s. However, I definitely wasn't looking at the Missouri Synod very seriously at that point. So when I decided to go to seminary in my latter years in college, I decided to go to a Lutheran Theological Seminary in the South, which is an ELCA seminary. There's eight seminaries in the ELCA. And Southern was known to be one of the most conservative ones. I'd say at that period, Luther and Southern were the places to go if you wanted to be a more conservative ELCA Lutheran. And so I went down to Southern, and I was not happy with all the things I was being taught there. Now, I don't want to denigrate that seminary totally, because there were very good teachers and professors who I learned many wonderful things from. However, at the same time, some of the things being taught there were very disconcerting. I remember, and I don't think I'll ever forget, calling up my father and saying, "Dad, you'll never believe what I heard today in class." Or, "Did you know that this kind of thing was being taught in the ELCA?" And we both were very shocked. And the comment that I would often make to him, we still joke about it today, is, "Dad, you and Mom and Ashburn," that was the congregation I grew up in, "you guys may have left the Missouri Synod, or at least you thought you did, but you didn't really. Trust me, I'm the first one from our family to really go out from the walls, and it's a jungle out here." And so I definitely ran into things that I knew were not part of historic Christianity, and that made me really start reevaluating what I had always thought and learned about the Civil War in Missouri back in the 70s. And so I really started delving into the history, reading about the conflict at St. Louis Seminary and in the broader fight within the Synod, and really came to the conclusion that the conservatives in Missouri were right on the issue of Scripture, on the issue of women's ordination, on the issue of closed communion, that they were right, and that they were not, as they were smeared by the moderates or the liberals, as fundamentalists. That they weren't fundamentalists, that they weren't being, that they weren't infected with some sort of American Reformed theology, and that's why they held to inerrancy or any of these other positions, but rather they were trying to defend historic Orthodox Lutheranism. And so the more and more I delved into that history, it opened me up to reading more and more solid Lutheran theology. A couple of the things that really made a difference to me was reading Hermann Sasse. This Is My Body was a very important book that I read. Also, The Lonely Way, there's several volumes, compilation of his works. That was very important. Also, reading a lot of Robert Preuss. That really helped me see and frame some of the issues mid-century that really were bothering Lutheranism at that time, especially his Lutheran Orthodoxy work. And so the more and more I delved into reading the classics and the great theologians of Lutheranism, and of course also studying the confessions in greater depth and reading my catechism and reading the scriptures with, so to speak, new eyes, I realized more and more that if one was to be a Lutheran in America, the place was the Missouri Synod. And that was a really hard thing for me to come to, because the Missouri Synod, in many ways, in my mind, was the boogeyman. Sometimes the Missouri Synod, I'm sure you've heard, gets a reputation of being nasty. And obviously the Missouri Synod has its warts, and it has its problems, and it has lots of infighting. But the more and more I looked at it, I realized a church that fights is a church that takes Scripture and doctrine seriously. And especially reading Walther helped me. Walther wrote many, many letters, and in one of his letters, he talks about making the distinction between a leaking and a sinking ship. And the more and more I thought about that, I said, you know what? The ELCA is not a leaky ship. It's not a ship that can be saved. It's a sinking ship.
All right, let's take a break right here. I'm intrigued by your story, and when we come back, I'd like to know what specifically was for you the final straw. We're talking about refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now, some people are saying, with those who left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, they're ready to come to confessional Lutheranism. They've just been kind of hanging out in a liberal church body. Now it's time for them to come to confessional Lutheranism. But do they bring with them many of the errors that they learned in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? We'll find out after this.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Lutheran Radio in Exile. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine or teaching from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Study Bible.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Pastor David Ramirez is our guest, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. He grew up in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, attended an ELCA seminary before enrolling at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can join us, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 15th of February. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. You've told us your story there in brief form, Pastor Ramirez. What specifically was for you the final straw?
Well, the final straw for me, I guess. Well, I don't guess. I know the final straw for me was looking at the ELCA very, very soberly and saying, you know what? To be a Lutheran means to confess the Scriptures, and to be a Lutheran means to confess the Book of Concord as a pure exposition of those Scriptures, and realizing that the ELCA failed on both those counts. You can't say that communion with the Reformed is okay and confess the Book of Concord. It's just impossible. You can't sign the Joint Declaration and confess the Book of Concord. Those things are incompatible. And furthermore, when you cut yourself off from the Scriptures, when you try and say, well, it's the Word of God, but we might monkey around with the history surrounding that Word of God, or some of it's the Word of God and some of it's just the Word of man, then you're cutting yourself off from the life source of doctrine and of faith. And so when I realized that, I realized, as I talked about earlier, that the ELCA was not a leaky ship, that I or any Christian was duty-bound to bail water and to try and save it. But there's a difference. There's a difference between a church that is struggling, that has slipped into error, but you can fight for its renewal, and a church which has really cut itself off from the confessions and the Scriptures and hardened its heart against them. And the ELCA, especially after this summer, has proven to do that. I think that it was very clear long before this summer, and that's why I left. But if anyone was still in doubt, I think this summer proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
So you weren't surprised by the events of this summer?
No, of course not. No, I mean, there were gay unions being blessed many years ago, and anyone who knew anything around the ELCA knew that it was going on, was being tolerated. It was just a matter of time. It was a matter of time for the liberals in the ELCA to line up enough votes and enough support to do it.
I'm intrigued, before we go on to talk about the refugees from the ELCA that have come out, Word Alone Organization, things like that, the new Lutheran Church Bodies Diocese, things like that. What you said, what it meant to be Lutheran, you came to the realization, was to affirm the Scriptures and to affirm the confessions, both unconditionally, not picking and choosing. What did it mean to be a Lutheran in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? What was the definition there?
Well, I think, and I want to be clear on this, is that there are many good and faithful Christians in the ELCA who would agree to those two points. Some of them are laity, some of them are pastors. However, it was really up for grabs in the ELCA, and especially amongst the leadership. The further up the bureaucracy you went, the more and more hostile to scriptural and confessional theology you'd find people. And so that was one of the major gripes that I and many other conservatives in the ELCA had and still have, is that things were up for grabs, and there's a great inability in the ELCA to actually draw lines. If you can't draw lines and say this is orthodoxy and this is heresy, you're going to be in trouble. And one of the main points of contention between Missouri and the ELCA historically has been the doctrine of closed communion. And I think that right now we're at a time when we can really say, look, you gave up this ability to draw lines between truth and error a long time ago. Maybe this has something to do with your inability to draw lines on issues that should be so obvious, like homosexual behavior.
So do you expect that many of the pastors, lay people, the congregations that have fled the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America recently after their decision this summer will be flocking to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
No, I do not think so. I think we need to be realistic about that possibility. Anyone who thinks we're going to have a massive influx really is mistaken. I think we should break up what you just said into three categories, families, congregations, and pastors. I think families, we will pick up many families. This has been going on for the last 10, 15 years, people seeing the liberal drift into more and more liberal Protestantism, families come over, especially when they receive a newly minted pastor who is very inculcated in the liberal orthodoxy of most of the seminaries. So families, sure, and we'll probably see an uptick in that. I think that in terms of congregations, that's a little bit harder, but I do believe and hope and pray we will pick up congregations here and there. Actually, recently I was at a meeting of a congregation near where I serve that wanted to talk to the Missouri Synod. Not ready to join, but they wanted to see their options. They were talking to CORE and LCMC and Word Alone, and they wanted to hear what the Missouri Synod had to say also. And pastors, I think that we will get a few pastors here and there, but again, we need to remember that in general, the pastors of the ELCA are much, much more liberal than the laity.
Okay, so what would be the issues specific to those refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that would keep them, specific issues of doctrine and practice, that would keep them from joining the ranks of genuinely confessional Lutheranism?
Sure. I think that there's many, but there's the big three, as I call it. There's women's ordination, there's closed communion, and there's biblical inerrancy. And those are going to be more important to different people. Women's ordination, I think, is the easiest one. I think that unless there's a real personal connection, perhaps a daughter became a pastor or they had a woman pastor who was very beloved in the congregation, I think that's the easiest one to overcome because Scripture is so clear on that issue. I think closed communion touches a very sensitive subject because many people, even though they say, yeah, you're right, we need to learn how to draw lines again, it's going to be very hard for them to say, okay, we're not going to be able to commune with our family that's staying in the ELCA or with our friends who are Baptists or Methodists down the street who, under, you know, more open communion, we used to commune with all the time. So that's going to be a very sensitive issue for congregations and laity. Now, biblical inerrancy, of course, is going to be a very fundamental issue, or the issue, and that one's going to be very hard for the pastors because inerrancy has been taught against very vehemently for a long time in the ELCA and the former LCA and ALC. So those are the big three issues, I would say: women's ordination, closed communion, and biblical inerrancy.
So to those who would say, look, this is an opportunity, we should welcome with open arms the refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America into confessional Lutheran Church bodies, and then we'll sort out the details later. Sure, there are going to be some people there that we should be concerned about, some congregations and pastors, but let's get them in and then sort out the details later. What would you say?
Well, that's always a bad idea because you know how doctrine always works. It always slopes downhill. Or as Walther would say, you know, you don't mix a muddy stream and a halfway pure stream and a pure stream altogether because then there's no pure water anymore. So I think that we need to be real careful about people coming over. Now, again, on the other hand, we should be very welcoming and have open arms in the sense of ready to talk and ready to really confront people with what the issues are and why the Missouri Synod is the place to be if you want to be a confessional Lutheran in America. However, I think we have an opportunity with especially families coming in to say, listen, we know you're at a point where your church body is in turmoil and probably your faith is in turmoil. Here are what the root issues are. And this is something that I want to get to, that the issues that plagued the ELCA didn't start this summer, as I think is obvious to everyone, but also they didn't start in 1988 when the ELCA was formed. Rather, they started 30, 40 years ago, back in the 60s, and in some church bodies even earlier, when really the understanding of the Word of God was changing. I mean, the fundamental question here is, can God actually be clear? Can God actually say what he means? Now, if we believe in the incarnation, that God can become man, then certainly God can become clear in his word. And can God's word be effective? Can it actually tell us, you know, all that is necessary for life and salvation? So I think we've got people in a wonderful situation, in some sense, that they are willing to listen to the Missouri concerns, which aren't just Missourian concerns, but the concerns of Lutheran Orthodoxy. That here it is. It's a chance for us to tell people the problem isn't skin deep. The problem is really deep, and let's get to it.
All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to keep Pastor Ramirez with us for just a few minutes. I'm concerned about where he expects the vast majority of the refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to end up, not in terms of organization, but in terms of what they want their future confession and practice to be. Will they be ordaining women? Likely. What else? What would it look like if they decide, if they could decide to band together, form another Lutheran denomination? Where would it fall on the theological spectrum? How would we describe it in terms of its theology and its practice? We're going to keep Pastor Ramirez for another 5 minutes after this break, and you can join us with questions or comments. We're talking about the refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America on this Monday afternoon, February the 15th. Pastor David Ramirez is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois, a former member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. 1-877-623-MYIE. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard about the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad, I'd have more money than Tim after his first NFL contract. Radical pro-abortion activists played right into the hands of Focus on the Family. The ad, which playfully depicted Tim tackling his mom, would have quietly slipped by without much notice if it hadn't been for the ruthless attacks. The National Organization of Some Women was one of the most vocal groups. After it ran, here were the first words out of the mouth of NOW's president, Terry O'Neill. "I'm blown away at the celebration of violence against women in it. Unbelievable, isn't it? I hope these people keep this up. It's like the pro-aborts are doing all they can to undermine their own credibility whenever they open their mouths."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're talking about the refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Pastor David Ramirez is our guest. So what do you think will happen to the vast majority of congregations and pastors that have decided to exit the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Will there be a new church body formed? And if so, what do you think it's going to look like theologically?
Sure. I think that what's probably going to happen, and I'd wager big money on this if I was a betting man, that the church body that is going to be birthed by the Lutheran core is going to wind up pulling several hundred congregations out, and they're going to do this in August, according to their announcements. And that probably in 5 to 7 years we'll be looking at probably about 500,000 member denomination. They'll probably consider themselves a moderate confessional Lutheran body. So I think that there'll be a big force and a major denomination on the scene. And I think this is going to be very similar to the period of American Lutheran history from between 1930 to 1960, where you had the American Lutheran Conference, which was kind of a confederation of lots of different church bodies, and that had this moderating position between the Synodical Conference, led by the Missouri Synod, and on one side, and on the other side, the LCA and the East Coast Lutherans. I think we're returning to that situation where you've got this confederation of different moderate church bodies, because it won't just be the core church body, but also they'll be related to the Word Alone and the LCMC, and probably other smaller denominations that will fall under their umbrella. Now, theologically, I think moderate would probably be a misnomer, because if we look at this historically, this church body is going to ordain women, and historically speaking, that will make it a liberal church body. Unfortunately, to be blunt, I think that this confederation or this new denomination is really going to be trying to turn back the clock 30 to 40 years to when a lot of these folks were comfortable with their Lutheranism. I do not believe that they are going to get to the underlying issues of what does it mean to confess the Scriptures, that they are the inerrant and inspired Word of God. I don't think they're going to deal with the women's ordination question, and I don't think they're going to deal with the fellowship issues either. Now, again, I hope and pray that that's not true, and there are some signs of hope. I know that some people who are involved in CORE and in Word Alone, LCMC and other groups, are willing to talk about these things. So I think that we really need to be humble in the Missouri Synod and see this as an opportunity given to us by God to be in conversation with these people. To, on one hand, to recognize that we are not on the same page, that it's not just a matter of being different with regards to women's ordination or something like that. It's much, much more serious. But these people are willing to talk to us. They're willing to have a discussion about women's ordination based on the Scriptures and the confessions. They're willing to talk to the Missouri Synod because they've gone to the brink of basically paganism in the ELCA. And so they are open to talking to us. And I think that's what we need to do, is to be open to talking to them and being humble about it, to say these are the gifts of God that we hope that we can share in with you.
Mark is listening in Ohio. Mark, thanks for waiting on the line.
Okay, yes. My comment is that I agree with what the pastor says. I grew up in the LCA, which is part of the ELCA, and back in the 60s, our pastor had interns from Hammond School of Theology, and one of them was a lady. And, you know, quite frankly, I felt very uncomfortable. Didn't understand why at that point in time. But I married a young lady who was a very strong LCMS member and went through instruction, joined the church there. And so then later on, my younger brother went to Trinity Seminary. We had a discussion regarding Jonah, and he said, well, I suppose that you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. And I said, well, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? And that was kind of the end of the conversation.
Mark, thank you very much. We're going to get a response from Pastor Ramirez. David?
Yes. Sure. I think that when talking about these scriptural issues, I think on one hand we do need to push that when we say the Word of God is inspired, that also means all of it. That means the historical details. That means when God says something, he means it, kind of like what your caller just said. But on the other hand, I think we also need to recognize that people in the ELCA who have been had their world turned upside down because of this last summer and the issues leading up to it, they also do believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God. I do think that they're in error when it comes to inerrancy. However, I do think we need to be humble and gentle when we talk about it. I think we need to say, listen, if you believe this is God's Word, what are the necessary conclusions that you need to make based upon that? And it's really going to be personal connections that make a huge difference in these conversations, just as your caller said. I would say that everyone from the Missouri Synod who's listening right now needs to take this to heart, and that is that I know that the Missouri Synod and the ELCA is very closely connected through marriage and family, and that's where a lot of this work needs to be done. That you call your parents up, or that you call your sister up, or you call your brother up, or your cousin, or your in-laws who are in the ELCA wondering, what in the world do I do now? And you talk to them gently, but also very firmly and seriously about what it means to be a Lutheran, what it means to be a Lutheran, and why you confess the confessions, and why you confess that the Scriptures are the Word of God. And it's going to be those conversations that win hearts and minds.
Pastor David Ramirez is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. He grew up in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and attended an ELCA seminary before enrolling at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We will post a link to some articles written by Pastor Ramirez at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ramirez, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.